Good evening. Welcome to the Thursday night Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, saying welcome to this Nationwide Gospel Evangelistic effort. Our speaker is a first-time speaker in our program. From West Texas, Brother Carl Smiley from the Austin Heights Church of Christ in Plainview, Texas, will be speaking on the important topic, whose word should we obey for our salvation? The word of Jesus Christ or the word of man? From John chapter 14 and verse number 23. At this time, I introduce to you Brother Carl Smiley.
First of all, I want to give honor and to our Almighty Heavenly Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also like to thank Brother Flunder, Brother Brooke, for inviting me to speak on this topic, which is, whose word should we obey for our salvation? Is it the word of Jesus Christ or the word of man? In John 14, verse 23, Jesus stated, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." John 1:1-2, the scripture teaches us, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You may notice that Word have a capital W, which signifies there's something very important there. And what I come to understand that if you go back to the beginning, which is Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you will notice it says, Jesus said, the word of God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." So therefore, to understand this, we have to understand that it was Christ who was with God in the beginning. Because you notice he said, "Let us." And therefore, there was more than one person in the beginning, in which it was God the Father and God the Son. So, you know, I come and I ask a lot of people at times, I ask them, I says, when I take them to that scripture, John 1, I said, "Did you notice the capital W?" And they say, "Yes, we do." And I would ask them, I said, "Well, who do you suppose that is?" And a lot of answers I get, well, they say that's us, or they don't know. And what I try to explain to them is that Christ was with our Heavenly Father in the beginning. And that's why I take them to Genesis. And so therefore, we want to get you to understand that man have a way of trying to convince people that the Word of God is not true. The reason I say that, because man will use all type of ways of coming to their way of thinking. In other words, what I need you to understand is that on these religious stations, that is on the radio, TV, or internet, man will say and teach baptism is not essential, which is to say baptism is not absolutely necessary or is not extremely important. But my Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 16:15, notice it, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now you notice that in John 14:23, actually 24, notice what the verse said. "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So this is in relationship with what Jesus said, "He that does not believe will be what? Condemned." So man will have tendency to condemn himself, and those who will follow him to be condemned as well. So we have to recognize what thus says the Lord and not what we feel, or think, but is according to the Scripture. We do all things to please the Lord according to His Word. And so therefore we need to realize that we need to trust in the Word of God with all our strength, might, and soul. I have a few scriptures here so that we can understand what the Word of God does for us. Now, in the verse in Hebrew chapter 6, verse 18, it says, by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. The Word of God is God have no reason to lie. He have no need to lie because He's the one who made us and not we ourselves. So therefore, we have to understand that God does not change. He's not changing His will. He's not changing His character. And so when we realize that when we're doing the will of God, when we follow Him, we're doing exactly what God would have us to do. But when we do what man says and obey what man has to say, then we are condemning our own self. And so therefore, this is why I ask the question, who would you believe for your salvation? Who would you trust for your salvation? Who do you think have the power to save you? And that's the only begotten Son of the Father. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalms 18:30. It says, as for God, His ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. The word of God is, as the psalmist wrote, he said, it's perfect. There's no misunderstanding, no defect, or no impurity in God's word. So one must understand that the word of God is powerful and sharp, as according to what the scripture tells us, a two-edged sword. In other words, it'll cut you going and coming. And so, I want you to notice Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things which I send it. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Word of God will last until the end of time. And that, when I say the end of time, I'm speaking of our time that we have on this earth. God give us all a certain period of time where we need to make the best of time by doing what thus says the Lord and living according to God's will. One of the primary things why people have fallen away and drifted is because they will not take heed to God's word. Satan took over in the one point to where he's winning the battle because if you notice, people will be on their cell phone more and in restaurants, at the dinner table, wherever you go, you see them in the cars holding up traffic because they cannot release from these cell phones. But it would be nice if they were just seeking out what thus is the Lord. But it's mostly their Facebook and what they think and how they feel. But we have to understand that we serve a wonderful God, a God that loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die upon this cross, to shed His blood for each and every one. And the thing that gets me, as I said, people how they fight baptism. You know, there's a counterfeit salvation when one tells you baptism is not necessary. And what I mean by the counterfeit salvation, because what Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized, he said shall be saved. And so if you take the word of man where he said baptism is not essential, then we have to realize that man is leading us down the wrong path. But we have to pray for those that are lost. And we pray for those that are spiritually lost. But according to the scripture, we also understand that the world loves its own. And if you cannot understand the word and the will of God, then we are lost and deprived of our salvation. And the thing that gets me the most, when I listen to these religious stations on the radios and things, I also notice that they will say, they'll have a sermon, then they'll speak about salvation. And the salvation is that you have to say a prayer. And there's nowhere in the scripture that I searched, and I've been searching, I'm still searching to find out this certain prayer that you have to say. And there is salvation. Because of all the scripture according to Acts, Acts is when the church came into existence. In Acts, you'll notice of all the scriptures in that part of being converted, each time one was baptized. And the word of Jesus was ringing out to those in that day, according to all who wants to be saved, had to be saved according to the will of God, the way God said we are saved, and not the way man said. And so when you hear someone say this prayer, God, I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my life. And I have accept you to be my God and all. But what did Jesus tell us? What did Jesus tell us? He said, according to the scripture, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, it's funny to me, for we have such intelligent people to not be able to recognize the simplicity of salvation, the simplicity of what the gospel is. And the question I ask, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news that it's the death, it's the burial, and it's the resurrection. That's good news. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. He was buried, and he rose again. And what the thing about what hurts so bad is when one don't realize that baptism is that part of the gospel, which is the burial part. And therefore, what is the gospel? We must die. We must die to what? Die to sin. That spiritual death that man don't teach according to the scripture. It's a spiritual death that we must go through. We must die to sin. And once we die to sin, we have to be buried. Well, we're buried in that watery grave. Well, Brother Smiley, why do you say that watery grave? Well, the thing is that when Jesus' side was pierced, what come out of his side? Blood and water. And that's so what's cleansed us from all our sin? It's the blood. So many people say, well, I don't see nothing in the water. It's not for you to see it in the water. It's for you to believe the word of God according to the scripture. It's when Jesus' side was pierced up on that cross, blood and water come out of his side. And we know according to the scripture that it's the blood that cleanses from all our sin. So how can one ever come in contact with the blood if he's never been buried? According to the scripture, we must obey the word of God. One other thing I ask people, I said, do you realize and know what was the very first sin? Or can you tell me the very first sin in one word? And they would tell me, well, it was a lie. I said, no. Then they'll tell me, well, when they ate off the tree, I said in one word now. Let's keep it plain. I'm trying to make it plain and simple. I said, what was that very first sin? And that first sin is that man disobeyed a commandment of God. And that's why it's so important that we teach our children to be obedient and obey. Because disobedience, just, can you imagine? No one really actually think of being disobedient to God, to God's word. It's a sin. That's the biggest sin of them all, because it was the first sin. And it's what put us in the position where we're at today, to a lost world. But we are only, those that are lost are those that are not attending to the word of God. Today's churches are dwindling in. They are so distant from doing the will of God because of the lack of knowledge. We're not having the people going about looking according up the word of God according to the way they should. So therefore, they have no understanding of how to get to heaven. We go to funerals and things, and you already have people in heaven. When the scripture teaches about the coming back of Christ, no one has been judged. All fear that they come back according to what some man said. It is, you notice I said earlier, it is impossible for God to lie. So why is man trying to make God to be a lie? It's because they do not know God. And if you don't know him, you cannot believe in him. And if you bent on going to a church of your choice, that's one of the other things I need to bring up in this lesson, is that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build what? My church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against what? It, signifying one. I also ask people, I say, how many churches, when you look in the Bible and you read the Bible according to the scripture, how many churches do you find in there? And they say one. So how is it that your church that you claim that you're a member of and what have you, have any type of authority over the Lord's church or better than the Lord's church? Do you not know if it's just the one church? That means if you know, Jesus said, told Peter them that he would give them the keys to what? The kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is referenced to the church. When the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God, and it's speaking about the coming of the church. And so that's why we have to recognize and realize that if we're going to be in Christ's kingdom, or we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have to be in his kingdom. So therefore, man must need to seek out what thus says the Lord more so than what he feel or what he think. And man needs to really search the word of God to the point of where he can understand that it's, he cannot save himself according to his ways. And this is what's happening. And when you look in the world today, you see man going towards the way of the days of Noah. They doing everything that they seem or feel that is right in their own eyes, in their own ways. And that's why the Lord God Jesus tells us that his ways, not our ways. We have to understand that we must, if in order to have salvation, we have to come to understand the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And we have to realize that God loved us so much to the point that he gave his only begotten son. And by giving his only begotten son, can you imagine? Jesus said, at the time when he was on that, getting ready to go to the cross, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, and he said, let it not be my will, but your will. And because he's obedient to the will of his Father, he allowed it to go on. But if you notice also at the apostles, the one that he chosen, the three that was with him in the garden, he asked, could you not stay awake? Why was it that they couldn't stay away? Was it because they were tired and worn and what have you? The reason they couldn't stay away is that one of the things of it is. But Jesus prayed for them. And this is the prayer I understand. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit, I recognize what he said. Our spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's one of the things that where a man does not realize is that the reason the flesh is so weak is because you think about it. When God made man, he made him from the dust of the ground. And man would seek out that what he's a part of. But he don't, especially when he allowed the God of this world, which we have to clearly understand that the God of this world is Satan. God allowed Satan to rule. But yet, he made it possible for us not to be serving the saint, but serving of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when God made man, he used the dirt of the ground. And I normally say it's a natural thing to lust, to want for things that you're part of. But it's unnatural for where God gives you his spirit, which he would be the judge of the spirit and not us, which he give us understanding and wisdom and knowledge to judge ourselves to do what's right. But yet when we choose to do the wrong things, to forsake the assembly, to think that God's going to bless us if we do what we feel is right, well, then we have automatic done exactly what Jesus said, which is going to be of the conclusion of my lesson. In verse 24, he said, he who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So we need to recognize verse 23 of John 14 tells it once again, if anyone love me, Jesus said, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So this tells me that Christ loves us so much that all he asks us to do is to obey. But we also, I hear people say, well, you got the Holy Spirit. Trust me, God's Spirit will not do or go against the will of the Father. So one of the things that we have to understand how we come by salvation, and it's not a counterfeit salvation I'm about to tell you about. You come by hearing the word of God. John 5:24. He who hear my word and believe in him who sent me has everlasting life. You also come by believing in the word of God. You notice that John 5:24 says, also believe he that hear my word and believe in him who sent me have everlasting life. You also come by repentance as well as you come by confessing. And repentance is where you have a change of heart. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I pray I said something that would help you have a change of heart, to realize that we're shaking a rebellious fist in the face of the Lord. Because you listen more to man's word rather than God. So you come by repentance. And once you repent, you have to confess Christ. I often say that when one confesses Christ, this is when he died. And because what happened next, you got to go through the burial part. You must be buried, which is the baptism, which is where it's a spiritual baptism. Is which where you come into contact with the blood of Christ and you rise and walk in the newness of life. Jesus in John 3, he that believes, unless you bury other water, unless you bury the water in the Spirit, you cannot receive. You cannot receive the kingdom of God. So I pray that I hope I said something to help each and every one of you. May God bless you and God love you. And may we all put our faith and trust in the Word of God throughout our entire life. This we ask and thank you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.